The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany is from Genesis chapter 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, and there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right. Do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will not be, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The elementary student, the Christian elementary student, is ridiculed at school for praying before her meal or mentioning the name of Jesus on the playground. The Christian high school student gets shunned by her peers because she chooses not to participate in the backstabbing gossip of another student, and she refuses to give in to the sexual pressures of high school. The college students get ridiculed because maybe even receives a failing grade because he refuses to believe that he evolved from an ape, or he refuses to call his obviously male professor ma'am. A faithful grandmother is yelled at and even flipped off on the side of the road as she holds a sign, a pro-life sign, as a March for Life event. Perhaps she is even threatened with fines and jail time because she dares to protest before an abortion clinic. The business owner gets dragged into never-ending lawsuits because he cannot, with a clear conscience, make a specialty cake, not one that's on the menu, mind you, a special cake, one that celebrates homosexual unions, which he knows his Lord and Savior forbids. And if the Christian dare to speak up in the so-called marketplace of ideas, he can expect to be mocked, dismissed as a nut job for believing in fairy tales and his friends, his invisible friends up in the sky. And he most certainly can be expected to be called all sorts of the most vile, vulgar names imaginable. Well, dear Christians, just as our Lord Jesus Christ has enemies, we too, his disciples, his followers, his learners, we too have enemies. Just as Christ our Lord is hated by the world, we too can expect to be hated by the world. Christ himself says, a servant is not greater than his master, John 15, verse 20. If they persecuted Jesus, they're going to persecute you. So enemies, yeah, we should expect to have enemies. We can anticipate hatred and mockery. We should assume that we will be called the most vulgar name imaginable. We can count on being shunned, ridiculed, perhaps even have our livelihood affected. Not because we are purposefully being jerks. If that's the case, shame on us, shame on you. But holding fast to the word of God and clinging to Christ and having faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, we can expect these things. Yet, I don't know about you, but when godless, wicked people call me all sorts of obscene names, I so badly want to respond with my own onslaught of vulgarity right back at them. When I get smacked in the face, I so badly want to let the wolf out and get even and go full John Wick on these people. For the older generation, that would be like a combination between Rambo and Chuck Norris. So think about that. When I'm ridiculed and when I'm mocked, I so badly want to unbridle my tongue and respond with the cleverest verbal onslaught, the verbal beatdown, the likes of which the world has not seen and won't see ever again. That, dear Christians, that is how our sinful flesh, that is how the sinner wants to deal with his enemies. And unfortunately, that's how the world seems to work these days. If you don't like someone, or you disagree with someone, politically, whatever it might be, label them your enemy, cancel them, and destroy them. Like a pit bull going for the jugular, there is no mercy. There is no compassion. It's just victory, complete annihilation. But now this morning, Christ our Lord tells this to his disciples, to us, his followers. I say to you who hear, if you can hear, this is for you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. The one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. Everyone who takes your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. That intense hatred that you have for your enemies, your desire to utterly destroy them, that does not come from the Lord. It comes from your sinful human nature. It comes from your sinful pride that wants to let that wolf out and wants to get even every time it gets offended or abused or ridiculed or persecuted. Love for your enemies, blessing those who curse you, prayers for those who abuse you, turning the other cheek when someone strikes you, giving even more to those who take from you, giving without expecting return, let alone interest, not expecting anything in return, and treating others as you would want to be treated. These are the things that come from the Lord. This is how we Christians are called to live, even though we may be surrounded by a sea of enemies. This is how our Lord Jesus has called us Christians to live. But how? How in the world can Jesus expect me to love my enemies when I know that they would gladly kick me when I'm down and then spit in my face for good measure? I know they would. Am I supposed to just be a doormat for the unbelieving world? A glutton for punishment? How can he expect me to bless those who curse me, pray for those who abuse me, offer the other cheek when I'm hit? Give to those who steal my stuff, not expecting anything in return? And how am I supposed to deal with others and treat others how I want to be treated when they clearly do not? Well, how can Jesus expect this from you, dear Christian? Because this is precisely how your Lord deals with you. Romans 5 says that we are enemies of God. We were enemies of God when he reconciled us with the Father in heaven through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, the wicked, the evil. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, his enemies, Christ died for us. We, weak, sinful enemies of God, are justified by Christ's blood. Without deserving a single good thing from God, he saved us from his just and righteous wrath. We are no longer enemies of God. We have been reconciled with our Father in heaven. The blood of Christ has reunited us to our Father in heaven, reconciled with God. And it's all a pure gift, given to us solely because our Lord is kind and merciful and patient and forgiving. Only when we recognize what Christ has done for us can we then turn around and love our enemies in the same way. Christ laid down his very life to save us. We, who were his enemies. He had every right to label us his enemies. He had every right to utterly destroy us, to every right for him to go for the jugular. No mercy, no compassion, just annihilation. Instead, he sent his only begotten Son. God has been kind and merciful to us who were once his enemies. Love caused the second person of the Holy Trinity to take on the same flesh as his enemies. Christ our Lord willingly took all of the anger, all of that ridicule, all of that hatred upon himself, and he nailed it to the cross. Jesus willingly shed his blood. He suffered the most shameful death so that we might be called his friends. He endured all of the hatred and vulgarity and the curses that the world could throw at him. Yet as he hung there on the cross, what does he say? Father, forgive them. As they ridiculed and mocked him hanging on the cross. He turned the other cheek when they whipped and punched him. He chose not to destroy, but to save. Not to annihilate, but to forgive and reconcile. In verses 35 and 36, it says this: love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High. For he, God, is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. God is kind and merciful even to the evil and wicked. He is merciful and kind even to his enemies. That's true for you. It's true for those who remain his enemies today. And therefore, it's true for your enemies today. Ezekiel 18:23. For God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God is patient, not wishing that any should perish, but that all would reach repentance. As difficult as it is for us sinners, Christ does not want us to destroy our enemies. He wants us to see them as he sees them, eternal souls, people worth dying for. So in dealing with your enemies, remember how your kind and merciful Father has dealt with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.